It's fascinating, though, how little I think women know about this. And then you think, well, if we don't know about this, how are men or businesses or employers expected to know anything about this? And I think one of the biggest challenges is that this is something that society and a lot of women are trying to avoid. It's like getting older, and I see it as kind of like erasing women from society, because when we're not beautiful anymore, when we're not skinny anymore, when we're not thin anymore, we don't have any value in our society.
Are you ready to break the silence and embrace the transformative journey of perimenopause? Well, you're in the right place. We are Natalie and Lisa, your hosts, and this is the podcast that's rewriting the script on perimenopause.
Join us in embracing the strength within, awakening dormant power, and closing the knowledge gap. We're here to inspire great health and ensure every woman is seen and heard.
Get ready for expert insights, relatable stories, and a community that gets it. Unleash your perimenopause power. It's time to own your story. Well, hello, listeners, and welcome to Perimenopause Power, the podcast where we explore the transformative journey of menopause with real stories from real women. I'm Natalie, joined by my co-host Lisa, and today we have a special guest who will be sharing her personal story of navigating menopause. But first, hello, Lisa, how are you?
I'm well, thanks, Nat, and I'm really looking forward to the conversation we will have with Emily today.
Oh, we do, and we really love these conversations that we have in women coming onto the podcast to share in their personal story, because it really helps other women to be seen and heard and know that they are not alone in their experience. Even though we know every woman's menopause experience will be unique to her, there are remnants of similarities, and definitely those feelings and thoughts in the woman herself, within the workplace, in a family context, are very, very common. So I'd love to welcome our guest, Emily Jax. So Emily is a keynote speaker, author, people and leadership strategist with over two decades of experience in the human resources industry. Emily is a master NLP communicator and motivational educator, degree qualified, and she has worked across many industries for large international companies, including the Royal Bank of Scotland, Australia's icon GM Holden, and giants Wesfarmers and Coles. In 2010, she founded her own award-winning HR consultancy, HR Gurus, and since then, she has been helping businesses to humanize HR with her straight-talking and no-fluff approach. This unique approach enables her to deliver the message that everyone needs to hear about managing the different generations in the current business environment. Well, welcome, Emily, to the podcast.
Thank you. It's always embarrassing listening to, someone introduce you with an intro like that, but thank you. I'm so excited to be here and really excited to talk about this topic because I think it's super important.
Yeah. Can I just say I love the bit about the straight talking and no fluff approach. It's so important.
Thank you. Well, hopefully I can be straight talking and no bullshit today. I'll try and keep on point.
And you know what? Of course, we know that there's that no bullshit factor as we get older as well. So I think it just naturally comes to us women in midlife these days. So Emily, we've heard the wonderful background and experience that you have in your professional career. We'd love to know a little bit more about yourself personally, but also coming into your own menopause story and how you come into it, and love to hear, was it a complete surprise? Was it something that was expected? How did you get to where you are today?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Where did it all begin? When it probably started, well, I'm 47 now, and when perimenopause started for me, it was probably about 3 years ago, I think, but maybe it started earlier than that and I just had no idea, because I think I really wasn't thinking that in my 40s I was going to be going through menopause. I didn't even really know what perimenopause was, to be honest. And then about 3 years ago, when I moved down to Tasmania, so I, during COVID, decided to leave Melbourne That's a whole other story, probably a whole other podcast. But like many people, the stress of living in the lockdowns just made me think I need to rethink my life. And we sold our house and moved to Tasmania. And think actually just saying that out loud, maybe the stress of that situation brought on perimenopause for me, because through the research that I've done now, you know, high cortisol levels obviously impact on these things, and thinking about that, maybe that was a trigger. But I initially noticed really irregular periods, which I think is quite common, and they'd been like clockwork before that. But one of the biggest things I noticed was my mood change. Just I turned into a psycho is probably the best way to describe it. And if I asked my husband what I was like, I literally was a different person. Like I just had the shortest fuse. I was normally pretty calm, I think, and like, you know, pleasant. But I just turned into this horrible, bitchy, nasty, like even my husband just breathing would make me want to kill him, you know. And my son, like he would, I have an 11-year-old son, so I guess he was 9, and he has ADHD, so he's challenging. And I'm pretty good at working with him and understanding how to talk to him, but I lost all those skills, and he would trigger me into these rages. Like I would literally have these rages, and I'd be like, what the hell is wrong with me? And I just thought that, I don't know, I just kind of forged ahead and pushed on and didn't really think about it. But then the irregular period started to worry me, so I went to the doctor, and I guess this is a common story. And I went to a male doctor, and I live in a rural community, so it's very hard to get into the doctor, so I kind of just had to get who I got. And I said to this male doctor, hey, I'm having these kind of weird symptoms. My periods are really irregular. I put on a bit of weight as well around my middle, and I just can't seem to get rid of it. Like it just will not. The normal things that I do, I can't shift this weight. I don't know what's going on. Do you think that maybe I've got early signs of menopause? And he goes, oh, yeah, it sounds like perimenopause. And I talked about my moods as well, and he just laughed and said, oh, well, this is just what you go through, and there's really not much we can do. Suck it up. So that was fun, and I felt really – I was quite angry, actually. I was like, fuck you. Like, how dare you dismiss me? And he actually said, oh, maybe you could go on some antidepressants. That was his solution. And I said, isn't there other things I could do? Like, what are some of the other options? Oh, if you go on hormone replacement, but, you know, you're probably too young for that. I wouldn't put you on that. You're 44. Like, just no idea. So just made me feel like I was being a whinger. And that I was not making it up, but I was being dramatic. That's how I felt. So that was an interesting experience. And then I just came home and just thought, okay, well, what do I do now? So I booked in to see a female doctor. So I had to wait like months to get in to see this female doctor. And she was a locum, and she was lovely, but she was probably in her early 30s. She was very young. And she was like, oh, yeah, you've definitely got perimenopausal symptoms, and what we'll do is we'll just put you on hormone replacement. And I was like, don't you need to do some tests first? Like, because I've been doing some reading and I've been trying to research myself. I was like, don't you want to test my hormones and work out what I'm lacking? And she's like, oh, no, we'll just put you on this one and we'll just see how you go, and hopefully that will make your periods more regular. That was like that was the conversation. And I'm like, oh, well, you're a doctor. Like, maybe she knows what she's talking about. So I went home with these patches and I put them on, and I had the most severe headache. Like, it was so debilitating, and this horrible taste in my mouth. And I was sweating, and I didn't have hot flashes then. They hadn't started. I just had these, you know, the psychopathic moods, the rages. and then the weird period thing. And after about 2 weeks, I got my period straight away as soon as I started putting these patches on. So I was like, oh, great, I've got my period. But the mood thing, I reckon it got worse, and I couldn't function because I had these headaches. So I just stopped taking them and I kind of gave up. I was like, I'm not going back to the doctor. This is stupid. So I just forged ahead, and then things became worse. I really started to withdraw socially, and I'm a very social person. And I just noticed I didn't want to see people. And thinking about it, I think that I was actually depressed. Like, I was feeling symptoms of depression. And then I started not being able to sleep. So I'd wake up. I was exhausted, but I'd wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just lie there. And then I started getting the hot sweats, and then it just got worse and worse and worse. And then a year and a bit ago, I shattered my heel. I'm a mountain biker. And so I shattered my heel and broke my leg, and I was in bed for 4 months, essentially. So that exacerbated everything to the actual, like, to the absolute extreme, to the point where, yeah, like, I was just in fight or flight mode for so long because I was in extreme pain. I don't know if you know about your calcaneus bone, but it's one of the most painful bones to break in your body, and it was horrific. And after a few months, I actually went to a naturopath. Someone was like, why don't you see a naturopath and see what they have to say? And then that's when I started going, oh my God, like, I actually have no idea. The medical profession seemingly has no idea. And so my naturopath, who was amazing, basically explained what was going on and explained to me that the broken calcaneus and being in extreme pain and being in cortisol, like having my cortisol levels so high, probably accelerated menopause. So I got my period. When I had the accident, I got my period like the next day, which is really bizarre. I don't know why. And then I've never had it again. So in a couple of months, I think that if I don't get my period, I will have officially gone through menopause. And that's another thing that I didn't know, that you, after you haven't had your period for 12 months, you've officially gone through menopause. So that's my story, I guess. One of the biggest things that helped me was understanding how much diet impacts on menopause. So I'm eating probably twice as much protein as I was previous to learning all of this stuff. I've read heaps of books. I've done fasting. I take supplements. So I take vitamin D, zinc. I take magnesium. Because the other thing that symptom I was having was clenching my jaw in my sleep, and I'd wake up and my teeth would be aching. So I was just exhausted, feeling, I felt so shit. And I've always been quite fit and healthy. So I felt like my body just turned into a giant Twinkie, like everything just went soft. And so so I now do weights training. I've always done exercise, but now I do 30 minutes of weight training because I understand how important it is to keep your muscle strength and muscle tone, because you lose all of that during menopause. I also take omega-3. And I think a mushroom complex as well. That's the other thing that because my gut biome seemingly completely changed. So, yeah, I mean, I could go on for days and days about all of the weird shit that happened to me, but I now know that everybody is different, everybody's story is different. And, yeah, it's a crazy thing that so many women have absolutely no idea about menopause, and until you're going through it, you don't really care, I think.
Yeah, I think it's that whole theme that what you don't know won't kill you. And what we're seeing is there's a real opportunity if we know about our body, our cycles, we understand our stress, our nutrition, our movement before we come into this phase of life, the impact can be very different, and we can come at it from a base that is a lot more positive. And not to say that you won't feel any troubling symptoms, but at least you've got a handle on what your body needs. And stress plays a huge part. I know Lise, her mind, I could see her mind was going over and over with your story. I just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing that story, what an experience that you've had over the last few years, but really appreciate you sharing that, Lise.
Yeah, you know, you think you've heard lots of stories, and then we have someone else on the podcast, and you know, all the symptoms you explain, I can absolutely relate in relation to the mood, and that was one of my biggest. You know, it's like you've become this different monster in a click of a finger, there are some really great doctors out there. Don't get me wrong. But empathy has a big place in relation to when you go along to the doctor and, you know, just laughing at you must have made you feel, you know, just terrible. Thank you. I'm a bit blown away by, you know, what you've had to go through, and I actually feel a little bit sad. But I'm so glad you've come out the other end. And, you know, I'm at the gym like you, I'm just working my way through my weights, and I know Nat does that, and diet is just like 100% important. And it's often the first thing that women will gravitate to in this time of their life, because it's probably the thing they think, well, hang on, I can probably manage that and do that amongst all the shitty symptoms that I'm feeling at the moment. And yes, sleep's terrible. So I'm hoping that sleep's back on track for you as well. But thank you so much for sharing that. It was, I'm sure it'd be really powerful for our listeners that are listening in today.
No problems. I'm happy to share. I'm an oversharer. So it's fascinating, though, how little I think women know about this. And then you think, well, if we don't know about this, how are men or businesses or employers expected to know anything about this? And I think one of the biggest challenges is that this is something that society and a lot of women are trying to avoid. It's like getting older, and I see it as kind of like erasing women from society, because when we're not beautiful anymore, when we're not skinny anymore, when we're not thin anymore, you know, we don't have any value in our society. And I don't say that lightly, but I think that that's how a lot of women feel, is we don't want to grow old because we don't want to disappear from life. We already have enormous challenges in life, in business, in employment, whatever it might be, but then we also get the added doozy of experiencing menopause that is quite embarrassing, and it's quite, I think a lot of people don't want to talk about it. I know my mum, when I spoke to my mum and said, what was your menopause experience like? And she literally like blocked it out, because I remember as a child when she started going through menopause, I think now about her mood, and she became extremely depressed when she went through menopause, but she doesn't even connect the dots that that's why she became depressed. I remember, had severe clotting when she used to get her cycle, and she would flood and she would be so embarrassed. And I remember asking her, Mum, why is there these blood-soaked pads and everything in your bathroom? Like, what's going on? And she, you don't need to worry about that. And she kind of, shooed me away. Because it was just, women didn't talk about those things. They didn't talk to each other about it, probably, I don't think. And so when I asked her, because I was telling her about my symptoms, she was just like, oh, well, that was, you just go through it, Emily. Like, that's what women do, You just suck it up and be stoic and don't complain, because that's what we're told to do. Be a good girl, be strong, don't be a burden. All those kinds of things. Well, fuck that. It's okay to not be strong, and it's okay to talk about these things, because it's going to happen to everybody. Every woman, over 50% of the world is going to go through menopause, yet we don't talk nowhere near enough about it. And I think that I think a lot of people are. I'm following heaps of doctors now on Instagram and people who are specializing in this. Because it's big business as well. Like, people are stupid not to want a piece of this pie. Like, imagine there's a lot of money to be made when you think about this as a segment. Because, yeah, we're all going through it, some better than others, some in silence. It's something that I'm passionate about. And I think back to my time as a HR professional working in big business. And I wrote about this in the blog that I did, about how many times I was called in to performance manage Linda from accounts, who was a bitch and no one wanted to talk to her. And, we don't know what's wrong with Linda, but she needs to have an attitude adjustment because, no, she's kind of unapproachable, she's moody. And I think back now to all of the Lindas from accounts, and I'm generalizing, that's a stereotype, but who were going through menopause and who couldn't speak about that with their employer because it just was not an option. And they would get performance managed down and lose their jobs because they were experiencing this very real phenomenon that is completely out of their control and probably completely untreated. And then I think I read it in your article that you wrote that women going through menopause or at that age is the most common age for women to commit suicide. And that really shook me because it's like, wow. This is a really big thing. And I actually know someone, one of our employees' sisters is going through menopause. And her employer has pulled her in and performance managed her and said, we just think that it's probably best if you take a redundancy. So they're literally trying to push her out. And she has told them, I am actually going through menopause. I'm struggling. I've got health issues as a result. She's got. And look, like, I won't go into all the detail about her health issues, but they're pretty severe. She's not sleeping, she's to the extreme and she's very unwell. It's also triggered autoimmune issues, which I think is another thing that happens, which a lot of the medical profession probably say, oh, that's bullshit. But anyway, and they are literally telling her, we just think it's going to be better for everybody if you resign. You go, just fuck off, go away quietly. And leave us because we can't be bothered dealing with you. I mean, it just makes my blood boil.
It just goes to show that it's real. And when we come up against a workplace and they say, oh, we don't need that. Well, you friggin' do. And in Australia, I'm not sure what it's like across the world, but we know that we've got those new psychosocial regulations that have either come in or they're coming in. And we've seen it in the UK that women have been performance managed out and it's gone to court. There's been litigation cases. And if supporting a woman from a place of kindness and care because her health matters, her life matters, if that is not enough, then there is that compliance element as well that workplaces need to be doing as much as they can in the workplace to support their employees and adapt. And we've seen that. So, Emily, again, wonderful insights that you're sharing. But what role could workplaces play in supporting women going through menopause?
Well, there's a lot that they can do, and I think I read it in one of your articles that you wrote about the very first conversation that's had and how important that is. And that really resonated with me because I think that that is the case in all these conversations that we have with employees that are human beings. We're running a training course on how to manage poor performance and how to manage terminations. And one of the first things that we talk about is having positive, open, honest conversations with people and having empathy because you're dealing with an actual human being. We're not dealing with the robots. And one of the most common causes of performance issues in the workplace is personal issues, whether it's health issues, whether it's marital problems. And the first conversation is so important to just say to the person, hey, are you okay? We've noticed that there's been some changes for you, and we just want to check in with you. Is there anything that we can do? Is there anything that you want to talk to us about? Because we want to help you navigate whatever is happening for you. You're important to us. You're valued, and we just want to be here. Like, how hard is that? It's not really that hard. Yet how many businesses completely stuff it up? Because they go straight for the jugular. Oh, well, Linda's not performing. We're going to performance manage her because she needs to perform. It's like, well, what's the underlying root cause of this non-performance? Is it because Linda is going through menopause and she hasn't slept for months? Is it because she's got serious health issues and just needs some flexible work arrangements, or she just needs some time off to go and get well and rest? Like, particularly, you know, an employee who's maybe older, they could have worked for you for 10, 15 years, but as soon as they've got something going on, you're just going to bin them? Like, it just does my head in. So I think that very first conversation coming from a place of empathy is just so, so important. But I think that a lot of men are really afraid of that conversation. When I do training with leaders, they're like, what do I do if someone cries? It's like, well, people are allowed to cry. People are allowed to cry at work and express emotions because people have emotions. But it's your job to sit with them and say, it's okay. It's okay to cry. Just let it out. Or do you need a minute? Like, what's so bad about someone crying? It's like, you know, when I was a kid, I get it. My parents used to tell me, stop crying. That's what parents did. But yeah, I think that early interventions with conversations, asking people what they need, is as simple and easy as it gets. It doesn't cost anything. It will just, that would make such a massive impact. But I'm actually writing another article at the moment about reasonable adjustments. And one of the questions that we get asked quite a bit at the moment is, do we need to make reasonable adjustments for employees who have a mental illness or a health condition, or they're neurodiverse? And menopause is a health condition, and I would also argue that it's a mental health condition as well. So my view is, yes, we do need to make reasonable adjustments for people who are going through a very real illness or, you know, condition or whatever you want to call it. I don't know the official term. I'm not a doctor.
Yep. Yeah, you're spot on. We do. We need to see people and meet people where they're at. And it takes us in a workplace and in a community from all walks of life and all different life phases and all different life experiences. And that's what makes the world go round. And we need to meet people where they're at and lead with empathy, as you said, and as Lise said. It's just such a powerful word and often shirked as such a weakness. But what is wrong with actually seeing people and putting yourself in the shoes of someone else and not with this notion that we have to fix this person? We always say that women do not want their workplace to fix their menopause. They simply want to know that they are in a safe environment to have the conversation. That's it. Yeah.
And can I ask a question? Like, when you do this training with clients, how do the men, the males, respond to this training? Are they quite nervous about coming? Like, do they think, oh my God, are we going to be talking about periods? Like, what's your experience? Because I'd love to hear about that. I think it's really important.
They love it. They come along of their own accord because, well, number one, they've probably got a wife, a daughter, a mum, sister, whatever going through it. And we know that the education is definitely not there from, you know, from right back way at the start in probably high school. So we're not getting that education. And then they think, well, a lot of them don't want to offend a woman by saying the wrong thing or not understanding what it is that she's going through. So they're coming along to this training to understand what it is. And they often say, thank you, because now I understand what my, you know, mother, daughter, wife is going through. And then they can use that as part of their management philosophy or, you know, style in relation to actually supporting that woman that's going through it. And I think just hearing you talk about all this, there's an element of common sense that we seem to forget we leave at the door with when we're in a workplace as well. Like what we do at home and how we're empathetic. We're generally empathetic at home and understanding of a situation, whether it's with our children or extended family. But for some reason, it's like you walk through those automatic doors in the workplace and you forget that common sense and empathy. And it's really frustrating that we're doing that. And if you could actually do that and bring that into the workplace and actually, you know, support those people, our productivity and things like that and retention of staff, and I'm sure we'd be seeing some much higher and more favourable statistics around the whole thing. So, yeah, men really love it.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and we often say it's not a woman's issue, it's a human issue. Mm. And it's part of what brings us together as a collective, as a community and family and workplaces. So, Emily, you have shared so many wonderful insights, and we'd love to just wrap up by asking you this question, which we ask of all of our guests. So this podcast is all about power and finding, nurturing, and using our personal power as we transition through life phases, in this case, perimenopause and beyond. We'd love to know from you, what does coming into your own power mean to you, and how have you come into your power given your experience through this phase?
That's an awesome question. For me, I think knowledge is power. So in terms of my journey with perimenopause, just seeking answers and not giving up and just going down the road of, well, I don't like your answer, so I'm going to go and find out more. And there is so many amazing resources like this podcast, but women need to seek out their own information, I think, and not rely on other people or maybe the traditional methods. There is so much to be learned, I think, and there's so many great people who are educating women and men about this topic. So that's been my kind of main thing that I would share with other people. But I think more broadly, I think if I have, like, after going through this situation myself, I feel like if I can survive this, I can literally do anything. So I feel really empowered. And I remember feeling the same way after I gave birth to my son. I was like, that was the hardest thing I have ever done in my life. Wow. If I can endure that, I can endure anything. And going through menopause is equally as hard, I think, as birthing a child, because your body is changing, your mind is changing, your whole life is really tipped upside down, and you have to learn a new way and you have to really tune into what your body is saying. And I think that that's really powerful, and I feel a lot more confident and better for it. So I'm feeling pretty grateful, and I can't wait to hit the 12-month mark and be able to go, well, that's it, I'm done. I mean, I'm not done. I've still got certain symptoms that I'm dealing with, but I feel like I've like, comparatively, I think some women, this journey can take 10 plus years. So mine feels quite short. I don't really know what the average is, but I'm feeling pretty lucky, to be honest.
Beautifully said. I love that. So encouraging women to be their own health advocates and seeing this phase of life, although it is a challenge, it is part of our experience, and there's learning that comes out of it the other side. And we often say that this phase of life is a personal and professional development process that we're going through. We may not see it at the time, but as we go through it, we really do recognize our power and the opportunity to embrace it. Emily, this has been an awesome conversation. We have loved it. Could you let our listeners know where they could connect with you if they wanted to connect with you either personally or through your work at HR Gurus?
Sure. So people can visit my website, www.hrgurus.com.au. So I run a outsourced HR service really for SMEs. But the other place I hang out quite a bit is LinkedIn. So if you want to connect with me personally, jump on LinkedIn and search my name, and I would be happy to connect with anyone who wants to talk about menopause. But I did want to say one last thing. I think my last message to women out there is your life is not over after you've experienced menopause. Like, I feel like I am stepping into this new phase of my life. I'm sorry, I'm going to get a bit emotional because it's, I think, so important that women understand that your life actually can get better, and that after going through menopause, you just feel so empowered and so strong. So don't give up. There is hope at the other end of this.
Beautiful. So powerful. And thank you so much for your vulnerability and just sharing so openly your story. I'm sure that all of our listeners will take so much from your experience. So thank you so much. We will pop all of those details in the show notes so that our listeners can connect with you. Thanks so much, Emily.
Thanks, Emily.
Thank you.
Are you ready to transform your menopause journey into a positive and empowering experience? We're thrilled to announce the launch of our new program, Mindful Menopause, starting in June. Our four-week Mindful Menopause program is your empowering guide to navigating menopause with greater self-awareness and confidence. You will discover how to cultivate present moment awareness, understand your stress, and most importantly, connect with your vision for the future. We are opening the doors to six women to join us for this first cohort of this program, and we'd love for you to join us. Be sure to check out the link in the show notes and reach out to us for more information.
Thanks for tuning in to Perimenopause Power. If you found today's episode empowering, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Your journey through perimenopause just got a whole lot brighter.
And of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts, so leave us a review. Your feedback helps us empower even more women on this transformative journey. Until next time, keep embracing your perimenopause power.